If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast. Today we're looking back on a sensational tour series and we're looking ahead to what race organisers, the Sweet Spot Group, are predicting will be the hardest edition yet of the Women's Tour. We'll talk about an expansion of Brother UK's sponsorship of the Women's Tour and Tour of Britain. That's our new role as the presenting partner of the Green Zones. We'll celebrate a second national title in 3 months for Brother UK Orientation Marketing. And we'll hear from two of the biggest stars in British women's road racing. Here with me to discuss all of this and more is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Phil Jones. Phil, good to see you.
Hi, Tim, and hello, everybody.
Phil, you had a pretty enjoyable evening last night, I think, in the centre of Manchester.
Indeed, I did. It was absolutely brilliant to see the tour series in Manchester, Tim. Huge crowds. Thankfully, a lovely evening. It was really raining cats and dogs in the morning. And I had tweeted the day before that the weather conditions looked pretty good. Thankfully, it all came together. We had a lovely evening, big crowds and some very, very fast racing.
Well, look fast, even on the live stream. And as a general rule of thumb, if something looks fast on the telly, then in real life, it's even faster. And you were right there on the side of the course.
Yeah, I was. And one thing I always do when we go to the tour series is walk the circuits, Tim. You know, don't just sort of go to the finish line and watch it come round. Walk the circuit, because what you'll then find is you'll see the undulations in the circuit and also where the best place to watch it from. And I found the best place to watch the race from was actually on the second turning. So the riders came down Deansgate. There was a very fast left turn. Then there was like a small negative descent, probably only minus 2%, something like that. Really fast corner. My goodness me, that was a fast second corner. It frighteningly fast. A drag up and then, of course, up to the Science Museum, swing a left and then another left. You're back onto Deansgate. So that corner was a really, really great place to watch the race from because you could see them come around the top, hit the bottom and who was sprinting up the top effectively. And it was so quick that when the TV camera motorbike was going through, the footstand where the cameraman had his rest his feet was actually hitting the tarmac because the riders were going so fast, he was having to go through with such a lean. It was incredible.
Wow. The grand final of this year's Tour Series in Manchester seems to have been a bit of a success story all round. You caught up with some of the senior guys from Sweet Spot, I think, the race organisers. And Manchester's a big deal for them, isn't it? Getting into a major city, using that opportunity to show leaders from other cities what the Tour Series is all about.
For me, something like the Tour Series should always end in a really big venue, and somewhere like Greater Manchester is the perfect place to give it the staging that it needs. And particularly for this round of the Tour Series, of course, there was a lot on the line. You know, the men's race was on the line, and whilst the women's team competition was already wrapped up, there was the sprinting jerseys, there was still the race win on the night and all this sort of stuff. So there's a lot to play for. So the staging in the future really needs to be in these really sort of big venues. And I think Sweet Spot, that's what their intent is. And so having, you know, other city leaders there to sort of showcase what good looks like, what it does for foot traffic, for the bars and the restaurants and the city itself. What does a race like the Tour Series bring to a city of any type in the country? That was the perfect opportunity last night. Yes, there was many, many civic leaders there. Also a very, very big crowd. And I live in the outskirts of Greater Manchester, actually in Cheshire. I could see people that go in the cafes, clubs and around Cheshire. I saw them all around the circuit last night. People had come in and really wanted to lend their support. It was just brilliant. Great, great atmosphere.
You know, wouldn't it be great to see the Tour Series in Birmingham, in Newcastle, in central London, in all of the big cities in this country, you know, to give it the platform that it really deserves? You can deliver all the PowerPoint presentations in the world, but you know, actually having decision makers on site in the city, watching the races, seeing the crowds, that's brilliant news. Well, what a series we've had. Let's look back on it now, Phil, and let's start with the women's series. We had two teams in the action, Brother UK Orientation Marketing and Brother UK LDN, and the latter, of course, led by the sensational Sammy Stewart. Now, the overall winners of the series were, and I'm going to give them their full title, Pro Noctis, Rota, Red Chili Bikes, powered by Heidi Yeltsin. I think I've got that right. How does that sound, Phil?
Well, actually, I did go to the team last night and say, somebody please tell me how to pronounce this for our podcast. And we got to the place of Heidi Kjeldsen is what we think. Heidi, we totally apologise if that is totally incorrect. But that's where I think we're going to have to start from today.
Well, we've mangled Heidi's name a bit, I think, but it sounds like we're getting closer. Now, the freewheel sprints competition, that went right down to the wire. Joe Tindley versus Sammy Stewart. What a contest. It was one that ran for all seven rounds, but ultimately went to Joe with some brilliant riding for her and her team in Manchester. Let's have a quick recap as well of the individual winners. In Gisborough, that was Sophie Lewis of Cam's Basso, and her team made it two in a row. In Gala Shields with a win for Meg Barker, who you might remember won two of the three rounds last year. Sunderland, that was a debut victory for Brother UK LDN Sammy Stewart. In Stranraer, victory was claimed by the teenager Emma Jeffers for Team Jaden Viva Lovello, and what a series she had. Clacton saw Sammy back in the winner's circle with arguably the ride of the series. After just two laps, she rode off the front of the bunch, and that was the last her competitors saw of her. An incredible victory. In Barking, Ella McDermott took a superb sprint victory, and didn't Team Boom Pods come good towards the end of this series? And then in Manchester, second victory for Emma Jeffers, but this time only by inches from Sammy Stewart. What a fitting finale, Phil. What an incredible finish to an incredible series, which I think we can say, you know, hand on heart, the women's racing was every bit as good as the men's.
Indeed it was. And I wandered to the pits afterwards, Tim, just to meet Sammy and the team and congratulate them on a great series and, you know, just see a few people. And Joe Tinley actually nipped over to see Sammy. And what I really liked was, and I think it's the mark of a genuinely true champion, Joe is a national circuit race champion. She congratulated Sammy for being such a great competitor, for pushing her and for raising standards and making the racing hard. I then began to sort of hear the conversation evolve of just how the racing has evolved and actually also how it's nice that there's a few teams ending up here on the win list and taking individual rounds and individual riders. And it's not just the same people just sort of rolling over the line, hands in the air. So genuinely, I think it's been one of the most open tour series that we've seen for a while. And of course, there's been lots of issues. There's been some rider injuries, sickness, all of these sorts of things. But that's racing for you. Every season has got all this sort of stuff. I totally agree. I think one of absolutely the best tour series that I've seen for the competitiveness of the women's racing.
You make a very good point, Phil. You know, when you say that there were lots of different winners and not just two or three dominant teams. After the first two rounds, we might have said, OK, it's going to be Cam's Basso versus Pro Noctis, and that's going to be the end of it. But no, nothing like that. The women's peloton proved to have real strength in depth. We had a range of winning riders. And we had several teams, you know, at the sharp end during the various rounds. It's great, Phil, to hear that you were on the spot to see Jo offer her congratulations to Sammy. We know there's a lot of mutual respect there. How do we know that? Well, we've spoken to both of them. Let's have a listen now to Jo Tindley.
I can't win, or a rider can't win without a team. Whether that's on or off the bike, it's as simple as that. It's our jersey. You know, the Nationals was our jersey. It was a whole team event. It was just all about that. But then obviously, like you say, the Tour Series, because we're all in yellow, it is more inclusive. Everybody has a role within that team. Especially when you pull a jersey on as a team, it gives you that little bit extra. It gives you that morale. It's just special to be able to share that together and be sort of swap riders in and out, but we had the full team on that podium in Manchester. That was key because every single one of those girls contributed to that result. It's as simple as that. You know, we couldn't have done it without all of them. Sammy could have won that at Manchester, but again, it wasn't an individual result. If you watch what happened, the girls came forward and led me out. I didn't win the first sprint. I was struggling. Sammy was hurting me. And the girls for that third sprint were there. Like, that lead out by Amy and Lucy was just absolutely incredible. And then because they've done that, you're going to win it. You have to finish that off. You know, you don't want them putting all that effort in and then you not finishing it off. It's great to have that individual result, but ultimately I couldn't have done that without the girls. I genuinely believe that because of that, we won it. Having the live stream has just changed everything. You see the whole race unfold. You see how aggressive they are, how strong they are. And it's a huge step forward for us to be able to see this. And we race. The girls are racing. They're racing hard. I'm knocking out power PBs and it's fast. I had a notification on Strava. This is just an example that Harry Tanfield took a Strava off of me by 1 second. That's how fast the women raced. It stepped up. Every year steps up and I have to train harder for me to be able to compete and be active in races. And the young talent that's coming through, like Emma Jeffers, is pretty cool. And the scene's just absolutely brilliant at the minute. We still have a long way to go with lots of things, but the fact that we had equal race times through Tour Series, equal prize money. I remember that when races weren't even televised, I'd be the only girl to turn up to a race. So I had to race with the men. The standard is incredible and it's just really good to see.
Well, great to hear there from Joe, Phil. Some really valuable insights into what it takes to win this series. They're very interesting, isn't it, to hear her talk about the inclusivity of the Tour Series. The team competition, you know, really is its unique selling point. Joe, of course, knows all about winning individual competitions. She's the reigning British Circuit Race champion after all. But, you know, she said there, didn't she? At the end of the day, she'd rather wear a yellow Tour Series leader's jersey than a British champion's jersey because for her, it's all about the team. Now, you know a bit about team building, Phil, and about getting people to work together. What do you think is the story behind the success of this Pro Noctis outfit?
On the night, I was able to move around quite a bit, so I saw quite a few people, and obviously I saw Phil Kelly from Pro Noctis, and also Ed Clancy, Dean Downing, of course, who's Joe Tinley's individual coach. What's evident to me when I saw a post from Phil from Pro Noctis on Instagram this morning, really talking about some of the work that they've done with Joe and that entire team to really build this togetherness, this we win together mentality, which I think anybody who runs any team, whether you're running it in a sport or a business, wants that. So at our place at Brother, we have a mnemonic we use called a team, which actually means together everyone achieves more. That's how we use the expression team within Brother. I could really see that. And we can't forget that the Tour Series is a team competition. You can win the Tour Series and never win a round. It's just about getting those first three riders consistently over the line, which they achieved. And I think that's the thing to be celebrated, is that what is the objective here? The objective is to win the entire series. And you do that by togetherness and teamwork. No single rider on their own is going to win the Tour Series. You can win individual rounds, we can see that. But unless you have that strength and depth and togetherness in the team, then you'll never take home that team title.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, 100%. I mean, Jo did pick up an accolade of her own. She successfully defended the sprints competition. Even that, she says, well, you know, look at the lead out that I had in my sprint battles with Sammy Stewart. Yes, I'm the winner of that individual competition, but I certainly didn't win that by myself. I mean, that sprints competition, Phil, that was the ultimate subplot, wasn't it, to this year's Women's Tour Series. Jo Tindley and Sammy Stewart going wheel to wheel, round after round after round, and never more so than in Manchester. What a series Sammy Stewart had.
Yes, she did. And what you'll begin to learn about Sammy as we hear her more on interviews, you know, like today on our podcast, and when you talk to her, she's got a huge amount of humility. She's a very, very nice person. But underneath it all, she's fiercely competitive. She wants to improve all the time. But that's the key thing. She learns quick. Again, when I saw her in the pits afterwards, I said to Sammy, what have you learned from competing in your second Tour Series that you're going to carry forward? And she just said, positioning. I'm really learning how to position myself now. It's not about being on the front. It's about good positioning and making sure that I'm in the right place at the right time to compete for the right things. The beauty of the Tour Series, I think, is that basically, although the circuits on paper just look quite easy, they look like these squares with a few dead turns, etc., they're all very different because of the actual undulations that you experience in these city centres. And Sunderland, for example, really suited Sammy's sprinting style. A long drag that needs a big diesel engine where the sprint starts and it just goes and goes and goes. That suits her. And to some degree, I thought Manchester suited her quite a bit too, because there was that long drag up where she could really put that power down to sort of set herself up. And then a very, very long sprint. The sprint was a real good long sprint, you could see from the TV. And I think that it was just a build-up of racing so many rounds where she just had that little bit of tiredness, which meant that she couldn't quite deliver in the final moments. And she knew that. She said, I'm really happy with second. I tried to give it everything. You know, when I was back at the pits, she was saying to the team, you know, look, I'm really sorry I got second. I was trying for first. And it's like, everyone knows that. Everybody knows that. Second is an amazing result for someone who's only been racing a bike for a little over 2 years and has gone from zero to elite category in 2 years. Don't worry, you're on the right pathway here.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Sammy now about exactly how and why she engages with everybody involved in the event.
I really enjoy looking around and seeing what's happening, and the real stars of the Tour Series are them guys on the motorbikes and them guys supporting you around the side of the race. So, you know, just give them credit and chat to them. We're all human beings at the end of the day, aren't we? So they're a really good crack, and them lads running up and down the side, I think they use more energy than me actually, screaming my name and cheering me on. For me, it's just the experience of it all. And I mean, the crowds, that's what makes it for me. The win is just something on top of that. Like, I'm doing what I love, and those people are the ones that are coming to support. I think possibly my win for the night was meeting a little girl called Olivia, who's just started racing. And she's fallen off a bike recently and really damaged her arm. And she was in a cast there, and she came and said hello to me. So we handed over a jersey, and for me, that's a win, inspiring other girls to racing. There's a lot going on in the world, isn't there? So just be nice and just share your smile. That's the biggest thing. Racing's just what I love, you know. Certainly a personality trait that you require to be a firefighter, and it's all about that team aspect and getting along with everyone and just living every day for what it is. I would say that it comes from that kind of background.
Great to hear from Sammy there, Phil. She's such an engaging personality. I mean, she has a sort of magnetic appeal, doesn't she? And I think that comes from that genuine desire that she has for everybody to enjoy the experience as much as she does. Something else I think that you got an eyewitness view of last night in Manchester.
Sammy talks about giving a jersey to a young girl who had a crash. And I was there in that moment when she came over. And she sort of stood there, and Sammy clocked it straight away and went to her rucksack and pulled this jersey out and said, right, that's for you. I'm sorry that you crashed. Have that and take that home. And the look of delight on this young girl's face, it was lovely. And, you know, Sammy's mum and dad were there, and the team were there, and I was there. And one of those wonderful little moments where you think, oh, I was really glad to see that. And maybe sometimes, even in competitive sport, we have to step back a bit and say, what is it we're trying to do here? And I know that certainly with many of the people who are racing, they are trying to inspire people. They are trying to say, you can do it too. I posted some pictures on Instagram this morning that I'd taken, and a few other people had taken from the race. I think a few from Larry at Velo UK. Big shout out to Larry. Thank you for all you do again. But just putting a bit of text underneath that, you know, what my reflection was, you know, seeing that moment with Sammy, sometimes with sponsorship, what it's not all about is just simply eyeballs on a television screen. It's about a number of different things. It's about that small moment with that young girl and helping that moment to happen. But actually, it's also about providing platforms. And in this case, it's a sporting platform for individuals to perform to their full potential. And on the whole Tour Series, regardless of which team you ride for, everyone's trying to better themselves, be a better version of themselves, training on a turbo night after night after night to come to that round to try and do a little bit better. And that's what it's all about. I think it's about human potential and just humankind, really. And so taking all those things into account, not just the people who make decisions about where the races go, but right the way through to these small moments when that passing of a single jersey may well mean that in 15 years' time, there's somebody in an interview at the Tour Series saying, this all started for me when Sammy gave me that jersey. And I think that's what it's about. Small moments can inspire great things.
Well, well said, Phil. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head with the word humanity. I think that's why the Tour Series audiences have really taken her to their hearts. You know, part of it obviously is down to her results. She's a great rider at the end of the day, but you know, an equal part, in my opinion, is this obvious humanity. You know, she said in her interview that you know, that's part of being a firefighter, is that being a human being able to connect to people, you know, particularly in the situations that she faces at work, which must be very, very stressful. And, you know, she really does have those skills. She does that very well.
Finally, Phil, let's just think about Sammy for a moment, purely in a sporting sense. Just how far do you think she can go in this sport? She's a comparative latecomer, of course, she's 31, but my goodness, she's on an upward trajectory. And it's not just Tour Series crits that she can win. In between those victories in Sunderland and Clacton, she won the Orton Road Race, which was the second round of Cold Dark North's proper Northern Road Race series. And she was third in the opening round at Capenray. She's a very good time trialist too, among other things. Just how far can she go here? Could you see Sammy on a UCI team, for example?
In my opinion, yes. Looking at how quickly she learns, looking at her underlying ability on a bike, you know, she's got bike handling skills for crit racing, but equally she can compete in a, you know, a long road race. Quite a rouleur style. She is that diesel engine that can just bang down power mile after mile after mile. And I think that's really the strength that she's got. So thinking of what role she could play in a larger team, you could stick her up the front all day long taking the wind. Or indeed she could be the breakaway queen who I'm sure could just sort of nip out of a peloton and next thing you know, roll over the line 60 miles later going, I didn't look back, and next thing you know, I took the win. It's great to see individuals coming through the sport who can progress. We often talk about the future of the sport in the UK, and it's becoming a bit more difficult, actually. But I think that this is a great success story amongst many, actually, in the domestic sport. And I really genuinely hope that Sammy can go on and maybe do better and bigger things in the sport.
Well, we've talked in depth about the Women's Tour Series, and particularly about Sammy and Joe, who, of course, were the standout performers. Let's look back now at the Men's Series. The overall winners of the team competition were with Sun God, who in various guises have now won this competition 3 times. It was a close run thing in the end. They won it only by 4 points from Team Ribble Weltite. But, you know, even that doesn't really tell the full story. There were outstanding performances, I thought, from Trinity Racing and from the Wales Cycling Academy. You know, even Sampuran were in the fight. Actually, Phil, this was a closer competition than the scoreboard suggests, wasn't it? You know, albeit with a very clear and deserving winner in with Sun God.
Yes, I think from round one, we saw their intent fairly well laid out at Gisborough, didn't we? Really convincing win there. And you know, when you look at that squad in with Sun God, you know, they're a very, very good squad of riders, as we've spoken about already, when you got that strength and depth. But I would also say, I think Tim Elverson has got a really good brain on him. He knows what you have to do to effectively win some of these Tour Series rounds. And they got their tactics right, for me, more of the time. And you've got individual riders within there, people like Matt Bostock. I mean, absolutely outstanding. Watching him up close at Manchester and just seeing the power he's putting out, and also his technical ability, you know, the cornering and positioning, all of these sorts of things, the things that make it really important to win a crit, he's really kind of got all those things. So, you know, fair play to them. I think for me, deserving winners. They really took the bull by the horns, in my opinion. On every race, they were up front, battling, and had a clear plan about how not only they wanted to win rounds, but actually win the whole series.
Well, you're right to tip your hat to Tim Elverson, I think. You know, the Tour Series really matters to Tim and his team, and that's really encouraging. They always put out strong squads. They implement intelligent tactics. You know, they win consistently, and that ain't easy. Just a word, Phil, quickly on with Sun God's fast men, Matt Bostock and Ollie Wood, because you had a ringside seat, I think, to the two best breakaways of the evening in Manchester. You know, Ollie Wood went away early in the race and to me looked absolutely uncatchable, but ran out of steam, believe it or not. Then, you know, bang, Matt Gibson was the next with Sun God rider to attack. And then finally, Matt Bostock, who'd finished second in Gisborough, second in Gala Shields. He had a win in Clacton. You know, just thinking about these modern crit riders, just how fast they are. You know, when we think about the Golden Age, we think about Dean Downing, we think about Ed Clancy, Ian Bibby. I think you were rubbing shoulders with all of them last night, weren't you? But, you know, isn't the modern crit rider even faster, dare I say?
Oh, well, I'm sure I brought some of the legends onto the podcast and we put the younger versions of them up against, you know, the current versions of today. There'd be some strong debate about who's the better rider. You can say, you know, without doubt that the capability and ability of the riders currently riding the Tour Series is absolutely the top of their game from an equipment perspective, and again, just technical and bike handling skills. It's quite something. When Ollie Wood went up the road, road and he was had about 25 seconds lead. I thought, wow, you know, this is it. They are not going to be able to catch him. But then as I was stood on that corner, I just saw the faces of the Rebel World type riders, the Tanfield brothers, took it on. Within about two laps, it would close to 6 seconds. And next thing you know, the bunch was back together. They were lapping the field. And then the motorbike was getting caught up in this huge bunch. And I was thinking, oh my God, it's all going off here. And likewise, the bike handling skills needed at that point, when the race came together, the bikes in the middle of it all, they had to navigate through it all and you know, re-emerge again. And that's why I love watching crit racing live, because you also get the sound and the noise and the shouting from the rider, you know, get out of the way, left, motorbike. It really brings it to life, a bit like being at a football match where you sort of hear the small details effectively of what's really going on. The whole experience, I guess, of seeing those riders and just seeing their real excellence on the road was quite something. And yes, I did get a chance to have a chat with Ian Bibby, Dean Downing. I sent a Clancy a message this morning. And of course, you've got John Mould there, who completed his last Tour Series race. And I floated the idea, we need a Legends Comeback Tour Series round. And look, they're all a bit older now. It might need to be a little bit shorter. They might need a bit of notice to get a bit fitter. But I tell you what, nobody was saying no. Nobody was saying outright no. I think there was a little bit of give us a little bit of time to get in shape. And maybe. So I'm putting it out there today. Dean Downing, John Mould, Ian Bibby, Ed Clancy, let's get you back to a big shoot-off, a final shoot-off of the Legends of the Tour Series.
Well, you heard it here first. The Tour Series Legends round coming your way soon. We should just run through the individual winners from the men's series as we did for the women. The overall team winners, as we've said, that was Wiv Sungod. The overall winner of the three-wheel sprints competition was Matt Bostock. And Matt was pushed really hard by Ribble World tights Harry Tanfield, but managed to open up a decisive margin with that dominant display in Manchester. Victory in Gisborough went to Thomas Main of Wiv Sungod. Jim Brown, his teammate, won in Gala Shields. In Sunderland and Stranraer, the pendulum swung towards Trinity Racing, thanks to victories from Blake Quick and Luke Lamperti, the US crit champion. In Clacton, Bostock took his first win of the season after 2 second places and various top five finishes. But in Barking, Ollie Peckover closed the gap by winning for Team Ribble Worldtight in a photo finish with Wiv Sungod's Rory Townsend. And in Manchester, as we've said, Matt Bostock wrapped up proceedings with a dominant victory for Wiv Sungod. I mean, what an incredible Tour Series we've had this year. Phil, I know you've been super impressed by the way Sweet Spot, the race organisers, have bounced back from, you know, that COVID-enforced hiatus in 2020. And last year's, you know, sort of half-throttle return with this three-round series that we saw last August.
A big shout-out to everyone at Sweet Spot. Hugh, the chair, Mick Bennett, Andy Hawes, Miles, Jonathan, the whole build team, the hospitality teams, the safety teams, Carl on commentary, everybody. There's a massive team that work ever so hard to bring these races to our towns and cities across the UK. So I just want to really give them the credit that they deserve for keeping this going despite a very, very tough economic environment. They've done ever so well this time round to put on 7 great rounds.
Let's stick with Sweet Spot, because I think you've given us a great intro there, Phil, to the next item on our agenda, which is the Women's Tour. Now, this is a Brother UK-sponsored race, of course. It's a race we've sponsored since its inception back in 2014. And this year, my goodness, we'll have some big names on the start line. And that's just the Brits. Our own Anna Henderson, who started life on a Brother UK-sponsored team, now rides for arguably the biggest team in women's professional cycling. Anna will be there in the yellow and black of Jumbo-Visma women. Joss Loudon, the former World Hour record holder, another former Brother UK rider, well, she'll roll out at the Women's Tour in the colours of Uno X. Fifer Georgie, the British women's road race champion, will lead Team DSM, while Josie Nelson, who finished as runner-up to Fifer at last year's National Championships, she'll be there representing Team Co-op High Tech Products. If we look beyond the Brits, the lineup is similarly impressive. Trek Segafredo have been among the first teams to announce a lineup, and they're sending the new World Hour record holder, Ellen van Dijk. They're also sending Elisa Longo-Borghini, who in April won the second edition of the women's Paris-Roubaix. I mean, This is some lineup, Phil, isn't it?
Absolutely incredible. And of course, Andy Hawes, the route director, Tour Series last night, and he's got a real grin on his face. He said it is absolutely the hardest of all the women's tours thus far. There will definitely be a very worthy winner. I think we were looking at six stages, 734 kilometres, and a whopping over 9,000 metres of climbing. So this is going to be no easy race whatsoever. And it might well suit a couple of the riders that you just mentioned there, actually. This very hilly parkour, very undulating, some big climbs. So I think it will be quite open. We're going to see some really great racing, and maybe it might not follow the traditional patterns that we're used to with some of the large pelotons. We're going to see some big breakaways here, I think.
The women's tour, you know, it's enjoyed this wonderful reputation within the women's peloton for many years as far and away the best UCI Women's World Tour stage race, but it's going to have some competition this year. We're going to see the first edition of the Tour de France Femmes. In recent years, we've had La Course by Tour de France, which I think, you know, to be fair, only ever inspired a sort of lukewarm reaction. You know, the call was always, well, you know, why isn't there a Tour de France women's stage race? Well, this year there will be. And do you think the women's tour will be affected by that in any way, Phil? Do you think its status, unofficial though it might be, as the best women's stage race, is that going to be challenged? Or will the women's tour continue to thrive alongside the Tour de France in the way that, you know, the Tour of Britain does?
Exactly that. In my view, the women's tour in its own right has a very, very strong reputation amongst the riders and the teams. And we've spoken about this on previous podcasts, Tim, that it's not just about the fact that it's a race and it's wrapped up in, it's in the UK, etc. It's actually the total experience. The riders want tough racing. They want good hotels. They want to be looked after. And the team at Sweet Spot really look at that whole end-to-end racing experience, not just the route, but the entire racing experience, the entire women's tour. And I think that's what keeps the riders coming back. And of course, they've had equal prize money and some big prizes on offer. And a lot of the riders really, really respect that and without a doubt want to come here to the UK to support the race, to keep it going. And certainly with a parkour and a route like we're seeing this time round, probably the race will remain quite open until stage four, stage five, where suddenly it's all going to get a bit interesting, isn't it? Because we've got that Wrexham to Welshpool stage four, 2,000 metres of ascent, and stage five, Pembrey to Black Mountain with another 2,000 metres of ascent day. So you've got a couple of pretty heavy climbing days there. So any time gaps that exist could well be challenged. So again, it just disrupts the pattern of the racing. Maybe we'll make it a lot more open. And I'm sure the riders will really enjoy that and equally actively participate in making this probably one of the best women's tours ever.
I think it's going to be sensational. And that race, you know, is unquestionably going to be won or lost in the two Welsh stages that you mentioned, Phil. Just a bit of breaking news while we're talking about the women's tour, and that's that GCN have confirmed in a tweet that they will broadcast the women's tour live this year. Now, there was some controversy last year, you might remember. The expectation was that the race would be shown live, and for various reasons, it was reduced to a highlights package. But this year, it's going to be broadcast live. Just sticking with our theme of potentially race-changing stages in Wales at this year's Women's Tour, well, we will have a front row seat at Brother because the race is going to roll right past our Brother Industries facility in Rhiwabon on stage four, which goes from Wrexham to Welshpool. And that leads us rather nicely into this new aspect of our sponsorship, which we talked about in our previous episode a little bit. That's our sponsorship of the Green Zones. And we can finally give you a little more detail. Effectively, the green zones are in-race litter zones. They're designated areas where the riders can get rid of all the gel wrappers that build up in their pockets. Now, we know now that Sweet Spot has partnered with a recycling business called Enval. Enval uses a very specific technique. It's a proprietary technique. It's their own technology. And it's something that they call microwave-induced pyrolysis. Now, what does that mean? Well, they can separate by heat the constituent parts of a gel wrapper, the plastic and the aluminium. Once the aluminium is extruded, they heat the plastic and turn it into a gas. About 75% of that gas is turned into pyrolytic oil, and that can be mixed with virgin materials to create new plastic products. You've probably seen, you know, in the supermarket, shampoo bottles, for example, with labels that read, made with 30% recycled plastic. To cap it off, Enval uses the remaining 25% of the gas generated from the gel wrapper by their microwave-induced pyrolysis process to power the plant, which is in Huntingdon. So, you know, Sweet Spot have got a pretty impressive partner there in Enval, and they also have a pretty impressive partner, dare I say, in Brother UK. We've won two Queen's Awards in 2011 and 2018 for enterprise and sustainable development. We've got this wonderful facility in Ruabon near Wrexham, which is certified net zero by the Carbon Trust. And our HQ in Manchester, well, that's been certified zero waste to landfill by Valpak for 12 years. Phil, you've got to be pretty excited about this Green Zone sponsorship. You know, it really does speak to what Brother UK is doing within its business and within its communities.
Yes, I am. And when I was discussing commercial rights for this year with individuals from Sweet Spot, this was something that I kind of just raised and just said, look, is this up for grabs? And maybe could we maybe do something about that? And the answer was, we hadn't really spoken about it, but yes, it's up for grabs and should we talk? And we did. And we're doing a lot around the circular economy, making sure that, you know, our own global footprint around CO2 is minimized as much as we possibly can. And when I saw that the race was going right past our factory, I said to Andy last night, thanks very much, mate. That's great. I couldn't have planned that better. It wasn't done deliberately. I can, you know, exclusively reveal to our listeners that we didn't ask for that to happen. It was just part of the route planning and it was kind of a nice to have afterwards, really. You know, some of the things you spoke about a moment ago, I mean, I visited that factory only a couple of weeks ago in Ruabon, and honest to goodness, it just is incredible what goes on inside those walls and all the things that you've spoken about that Enval do, we do too. It's a zero waste to landfill facility. They are recycling 3 million or more toner cartridges a year go through that front door and are treated, recycled, remanufactured. And any waste is recovered and reused, as you say, right the way down to energy recapture, or indeed plastics that are recovered are then ground down and reformed and resold again and put back into the marketplace. So it's an incredible site, one that I'm absolutely amazed at every time I go in, the further advancements that they make in the circular economy and the zero carbon economy. Sponsoring the Green Zone just seemed the next sort of logical step for us, really, in looking at what we already know, looking at what Enval's capability is, and maybe for the first time being able to say, actually, what about on a race like this that we recover all of this waste? It doesn't just go into bags. What it does do is go away somewhere where it can all be treated. And then with Enval and Brother, what we can then do is sort of bring that back to the market and to say, look, in reality, this is what can be done now. And isn't it good? And if we're all going to be committing to a lower carbon future, then these are some of the initiatives that need to take place. Now, I know there'll be a big debate about the overall footprint of the professional racing scene, because, of course, that already is quite a big carbon footprint, is it not? You've got coaches and trucks and cars and motorbikes and air transfers and all of these sorts of things. So we didn't want to sort of get wrapped up in that debate for now. But what we did want to get wrapped up in is actually, OK, what can be done at a very simple level today that's easy to do and we can get involved with it? So end-to-ending the whole Green Zone was the start point for us. Then that uncovered the Enval relationship with Sweet Spot. We just thought we can maybe wrap this up into something quite good, and maybe as an added value of the Women's Tour is give something back to the market to say, and this was the waste that was created, how it's been treated, what was recovered, and here's the situation with it.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think the Women's Tour could hope for a more purposeful friend, to coin a phrase, than Brother UK to work alongside them on this Green Zone initiative. You know, they've also got some pretty handy partners in Enval as well, as we've discussed. It won't just be the Women's Tour either. We'll be doing the same at the Tour of Britain in September. And of course, whatever learnings we make at the Women's Tour, they'll be applied at the Tour of Britain. But let's wrap up now with a change of subject. We're going to celebrate our development team, Brother UK Orientation Marketing. We've had a relationship with that team for a number of years. They've raced under various names, including Team On Form. Yeah, they're really punching above their weight this year. They've won two national titles in 3 months. Now, Brother UK Orientation Marketing is first and foremost a development team. It helps young riders and even riders who are more mature to progress and to fulfill their potential. Anna Henderson, of course, is their standout product. The junior and senior women's teams, both managed by Mark Botley, in March they upset the odds by winning the senior British women's team pursuit title with a squad made up of three juniors and an under 23, which is pretty impressive. At the recent Lincoln Grand Prix, Jessie Carriage delivered a surprise podium for the team. Last Sunday, Jessie, riding with her teammates Daisy May Barnes and Laura Pittard, won the RTTC National Team Time Trial title. Bill, this is a team punching way above its weight.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really brilliant. And for those that don't know, this team obviously is the feeder team for Kemps Bassett, also overseen in the umbrella of Simon House. And they do a great job in bringing riders through, giving them that first step, that ability to get into bigger races, learn how to ride pelotons, learn how to ride in crit races. And, you know, I was looking at the riders in Manchester and some were working very hard and had got lapped, etc. But this is all part of the development process, is it? Not. How are you going to learn to improve, get better if you can't actually get into some of these bigger races and be really challenged in order that you can figure out what you've got to do next? So I think they're a really, really important part of the process here. But I think it's amazing that off they go and they're out there winning national titles. Equally, it's not like it's saying this is a second-rate option here. Actually, it's just the stepping stone that some riders need to very quickly get their talent identified.
Absolutely. I mean, they don't set out their stall as a dominant team that's going to win every race, but, you know, they approach each race with a serious mentality. They've got a very good tactical brain in Mark Botley, and they've won two national titles against the odds in both circumstances. So, you know, let's have a big round of applause for Mark and for all of his riders at Brother UK Orientation Marketing. They're doing a sensational job. Well, another fantastic flyby there, Phil. Thanks very much indeed again for joining me. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground, but there's so much more to come. We're into the meat of the season now, aren't we? We've had the Lincoln Grand Prix, we've had the Tour Series, but, you know, plenty to look ahead to, starting next month with the Women's Tour, the Women's Cycle Classic, and the opening round of the National Circuit Series in Otley. They're just some of the mouthwatering races that are up ahead. Now, make sure you're following us, please. We're at Brother Cycling on all three channels. And do make sure to give a follow to our media partner, Velo UK. They're at Velo UK on Facebook and Twitter, and at Velo UK website on Instagram. Phil, thank you very much again for joining me, and to everybody out there, thank you very much indeed for listening.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.